So I'm going to podcast jail then. We ran a Twitter poll on does just child sacrifice count as child murder? And results were pretty overwhelming.
Yep.
In favor of it in fact being child murder.
Yeah. It's funny how that's a totally reasonable position that anybody who is not pro-child murder would have. And I would say that the majority of people are not pro-child murder.
Controversial views being espoused today.
I haven't really looked into the research, but I have a guess that the majority of people, not child murder fans.
Well, yeah, I'm going to go to prison now, and MJ will be taking over the show, I guess.
Well, I'm torn between...
I don't have anywhere for this bit to go. I've really just talked myself into a corner already.
See, I'm just sort of there... I mean, that technically that would be putting you away for, like, thought crime, which isn't cool anyway. I'm not a fan of prisons, but the power. The power of the whole podcast just for MJ. I would crack almost immediately. Cueva does literally all the work. I just turn up and act the clown. So we're keeping the pro child murder lady around for now. We're keeping an eye on the pro child murder lady, but we're keeping her around.
Great.
Yep.
Welcome to Journey of the Monkey King with myself, Cueva, and my friend MJ.
Yo!
So, we are still reading Journey to the West, and we are on to chapter 48. So, if you recall, when we left off the story, Sun Wukong and Zhu Baji were being carried off to be sacrificed.
And I mean, they're big enough and old enough that, you know, we're kind of okay with it.
Yeah, they're only pretending to be children.
Yeah.
Anyway, Wukong and Baji are carried off to the Temple of Numinous Power, along with some sheep and pigs to be sacrificed. The locals...
I just love the word numinous so much.
Numinous.
Numinous.
Yes, it's like...
It's just so fun to say.
To do with the gods, I think, is what it means. I looked it up, I mean... I'm not fully confident in that because it was a while ago when I looked it up.
Numinous.
Of or relating to a numen, in brackets, divinity. Indicating the presence of a divinity.
Supernatural or mysterious? Okay. It's an apt name as well as fun to say is what we've learned. That was a little bit of a pointless digression.
Yeah, so the locals say a prayer to the god, burn some paper money and paper horses, and leave the children and animals to their fate. And as soon as everyone's gone... Baji turns to Wukong and says they should go home. To which Wukong replies, "Where do you mean?"
Yeah, you kind of been walking for literal years at this point.
He just
home is where the heart is.
Aww. Yeah, but he says he just means he wants to go back to Chen's house. And Wukong insists that they've promised to help someone, and they should see it through to the end. I'm not sure.
I mean, that's one thing you can say about the hyper murder monkey. He keeps his word.
I guess I'm not entirely sure how much he's just being sincere and how much he's fucking with the pig.
Yeah.
Because he does do that a lot.
I mean, I guess he does lie quite a bit. But like, what if he promises not to do something, I would not believe him. But if he promises Tripitaka that he will do something, I think he follows through.
Yeah, that's probably a fair assessment.
Hmm.
But eventually.
But yeah, if he says, I definitely won't cause havoc, murder anybody, steal, get really drunk, steal. yeah, don't believe that.
Eventually, the great king of Numinous Power appears. He's pretty fierce looking. He's actually directly compared to the curtain raising captain, that is Xia Wujing, in how he looks, and he's wearing a gold helmet and cuirass, a fancy red sash, and he's shrouded in mysterious fog.
Curious.
And he shouts, which family this year is providing the sacrifice? And Wukong responds chipperly, thanks for asking. Those in charge are Chen Cheng and Chen Qing. Anubis Power is pretty taken aback by this small child giving such a straightforward answer. He's not used to his sacrifices actually answering his questions, and certainly not like that.
I mean, I imagine you'd be terrified and pissing yourself.
Yeah.
As a literal child faced with a deity that will kill you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he asks, what are your names? And Wukong introduces them as Chen Guanbao, and the girl is One Load of Gold, which is the children's names.
Okay.
So Numinous Power does want to get a reaction out of them, so he just kind of straight up tells them he's going to eat them, in case they weren't aware of that already.
Yeah, cool.
And Wukong that's pretty much what Wukong's response is. He says, you know, feel free, enjoy yourself, go for it,
have fun, go nuts, my friend.
So yeah, this pisses him off, and he
shouts. Well, he's basically saying, bite me to a god. So.
I guess. So yeah, Numinous Power shouts, don't you dare be impudent. And he tries to grab and eat Zhu Baji, who immediately jumps down, turns back into his normal shape, and slams his rake down on Numinous Power's hands. And he manages to knock two huge fish scales off the monster, but the monster's otherwise unharmed. The book says the scales were about the size of ice dishes. I assume that's a misprint and it was meant to be rice dishes.
Yeah, translation-wise as well. Is it strange that... Well, is it just the names of the women that are actually translated?
No, they... that's an interesting pattern, actually, now that you say it.
Yeah, I just picked up on that. Also...
Because that was that was similar with, like, the family that,
You know, with Hundred Flower Shame, I noticed.
Yeah,
well.
Zhu Baji's wife as well.
Yeah.
Was, what were their names? Like, Jade something?
Jade something. It's just, yeah, I don't know if this is, like, a naming convention or a personal choice on the part of Anthony Yu.
Yeah, I don't know. It mightn't so much be... There was a footnote as to what, Guanbao meant it was in reference to a god, I believe. Let me see if I can find it.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it could also be a feature of the original book, whereby perhaps the kind of male characters were given more traditional names, and female characters were given more descriptive names. But the footnote for Guanbao is literally blessed or protected by Guan. The name refers to Guan Yu, styled Yun Chang, the renowned warrior and bond brother of Liu Bei in Romance of the Three Kingdoms. Guan has been deified as a popular god and is worshipped for his rectitude and gallantry, especially among business communities and institutions.
Okay, so big capitalism god?
From Romance of the Three Kingdoms, I don't know, maybe he's a businessman in that. I've not read that one. Although I did actually recently download a fan sub of a Chinese TV show from 1994 of it, but I haven't watched any of it yet.
Okie doke. Right. Well, report back.
If I get around to
Because I
watching
am almost certainly not going to.
it, I might. It's probably a bit better than Riverdale, which is what I've otherwise been watching recently.
I mean, Riverdale is what it
Do you want to
is.
hear some spoilers for Riverdale?
Go. I'm not going to watch that either.
They have superpowers now.
What?
I'm not even joking.
I may actually have to watch it just for the amount of shark jumping. It's like shark gymnastics at the
Yeah.
moment. These sharks are executing, like I know some it's jump the shark, but I do like the image of sharks executing like really balletic somersaults and all the
Yeah.
rest. I'm it pleases me.
Even Archie's dog has superpowers now.
Oh my God, what's a superpower?
Just like fast healing, it seems like.
So the dog can never die?
I guess.
It's amazing! I am now almost guaranteed to watch this show.
It is a very, very stupid show.
I like stupid. I like, yeah. Like my every now and then I remember the superb owl joke from What We Do in the Shadows, and I laughed to myself for like a good 10 seconds. Like, yeah, that was on television. When do we meet the owl? I would also like it if there was an owl that they met. Like if there's like some sort of deity of the Super Bowl and it just is an owl. Like it's a really sports obsessed owl. And it's got a little like little cap and I don't know how sports works, but the owl does. I feel calm.
The owl can teach you about sports.
Well, I don't want to be taught about sports. I'm sure the owl has other interests which we can talk about. I'm so sorry. I've had a very long day. We were in the middle of a climactic fight.
It's not really actually, 'cause he just runs away, and Wukong and Baji chase him into the sky, and he demands to know who they are. And Wukong helpfully explains in full their pilgrimage and Tripitaka, etc. The monster turns to run again, and Baji tries to take a swipe at him, but he turns into a gust of wind, and he disappears into the heaven-reaching river. Wukong is not too worried about chasing after him and figures that they can sort it out in the morning, so they just head back to the Chen's house.
I'm so sorry. I'm still laughing about the owl. It's such a stupid much. It's a really, it's also a silly show. It's not quite on that level.
I've seen the film. I haven't watched the show.
Oh, Quiver, you have to watch the show. Watch the show. It's so good. But so you didn't get the owl joke, like, at all?
As well, I've heard people making, like, a Super Bowl superb owl joke before, to be honest.
Yeah. The vampires all really want to meet the owl, and every year they're disappointed, but
yeah.
Every year they get up, gather up their hope that they will meet the owl. And that's,
yeah, I got the gist of the idea that there was at least one character who was under the impression that there would be a superb owl.
All of them except the energy vampire who doesn't tell them.
Oh, that's cruel.
Well, he's an energy vampire. That's what he thrives on.
I don't have to repeat the bit I just said.
Do you not hate the wolf for biting?
Did you hear? Did you hear the last, like, two paragraphs?
I can think about two things at once.
Okay.
Yeah, he's gone into the river. He's turned into a gust of wind and disappeared into the river, you know, presumably surprising some fish slightly, who then get on with their day.
Okay. So when Numinous Power returns home to his palace underneath the heaven reaching river, he meets his quote watery kinsfolk, and they notice that he seems annoyed. And he's usually comes home really happy from the annual sacrifice, and you know, he says that usually he brings home leftovers to share with everyone. But this time, the leftovers are children, I will remind you.
Yeah, but it's still kind of nice. I am not reversing my anti-child murder position.
Okay.
But it still is kind of nice. You know, he's looking after his people.
Yeah.
And also watery kinsfolk, for some reason, like he's royalty. I imagine these people are either royalty or have a series of delightfully charming ranks as the fish soldiers of the dragon king.
Yeah, we don't get a huge list of ranks this time, but there is
But for some reason, watery kinsfolk just makes me think, like, deliverance. And now I'm just picturing him going home to a bunch of, like, whatever the Chinese water spirit equivalent of Hicks are.
I haven't seen Deliverance.
It's actually not that great a movie.
We're missing a lot of cultural references today.
It's really not. I don't know. It's just famous for that one horrible scene, really. I don't enjoy it at all. It's quite classist. But I don't know. It's a cultural touchstone.
So yeah, he usually brings back leftovers, but today he didn't even get to eat anything himself. And he explains about the monks who attacked him, and he mentions, oh yeah, they said they're with Tripitakatong. I'd really like to eat that guy. I heard that if you eat him, it's some really good shit.
Yeah, man, you see colors and you get all immortaler.
Yeah.
Like, I know we're immortal, but you get more, like, more immortal, and, like, you can hear the wind gently whisper the true names of gods to you. And it's just like, my friend Steve said he met an angel, and I was like, what the fuck's an angel? That's not in our cosmology at all. And he was like, I don't know, there were a lot of eyes and I just kind of ran away. But you know, that's Steve. I think he's high even without drugs most of the time, you know what I mean?
that is exactly the dialogue. I don't know how you predict it. But yeah, so
Anthony Yu was on the good shit that day.
So there isn't a big long list of ranks this time, but there is a perch mother is said to come up with a plan. So Numinous Power has the reason they give him these sacrifices is that he can control the weather, and he gives the village good weather and good harvests. So
yeah,
she suggests using his weather abilities to freeze the river. And then we get a bunch of fish minions to take human form and making a show of walking over the river to show that it's passable. And so then when Tripitaka and the monks try to cross the river, they break the ice under him and capture him.
And Tripitaka and the... I feel like at least one of them, probably Sandy the Sand Monk, is gonna stop and go, does anyone think it's kind of odd, all these fish walking? Those are some suspicious looking fish.
Well, no, they'll turn into
redneck fish.
They'll turn into human form first.
Okay.
They can.
So they just like being fish?
Well, I think so. The kind of the way this the kind of monster spirit stuff works is they, like they're fish, but they've kind of become intelligent enough that they and enlightened enough that they can take human form, but they are still fish.
It's gotta feel weird though. Like even when you're prepared for it, it's gotta feel weird going from fish to human. Like I don't know what it's like to have gills, but I imagine it's a very different experience than, like, would breathing hurt you if you're used to extracting things from water? Is the air going to go into virgin lungs and just be horrifyingly uncomfortable for you?
I think the answer is it's magic.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Maybe they don't, if they're not human, yeah, maybe they don't need to breathe at all for a bit, if magic.
I have no idea.
Okay.
They probably have to breathe. I would imagine, I don't know.
I'm really sorry. I saw a guy about sticking a whole bunch of new needles into my spine today.
I feel like we should probably elaborate on that, what that means, but I also don't want to pressure you into talking about medical issues when you're just like making comments about guys shoving needles into your spine.
Yeah, no, it's not a fun thing. Like for one thing, if you're doing that as a kink, you usually get aftercare, and I get nobody telling me what's going on until I have horrible side effects from steroids. And yeah, it's a medical thing. My back is fucked. We need to reduce inflammation in muscles so they stop spasming and clamping down on my nerves, which isn't great. So now they're going to inject me with plasma. I don't know how that works. But apparently in conjunction with physiotherapy, it might. And also, I'm taking arthritis medication that is making things slightly better.
Good. So, better, yes. Is good.
Better is good. Not constant pain is nice.
So Numinous Power promises to make the Perch Mother his bond sister if this plan works.
Okay.
So
she gets like the first slice of the child sacrifice?
Probably. Well, they don't care about the children anymore. They're just going to eat Tripitaka now.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, why settle for hamburger when you can have psychedelic steak?
So, the next morning, the pilgrims awake to find that it's suddenly freezing and there's snow blanketing the area. Tripitaka finds it weird that there's snow so early in the year. It's only autumn, but Chen Cheng assures him that it's not unusual in this part of the world. So it keeps snowing, and after breakfast there is about 2 feet of snow outside, and Tripitaka starts to cry again. He told the emperor
for a very long time.
Yeah, he told the emperor he'd be back in the pilgrimage in maybe like 3 years, and that was 8 years ago.
Ooh.
And now, on top of everything else, he's snowed in.
What level of denial are you in where oh, we pissed off the weather god by not allowing him to eat our children. Oh, it's snowing. Yeah, it's fine. It's snowing quite a lot. No, it's normal. It's absolutely, like, at what point do you say, okay, yeah, we fucked up a little?
Yeah, I hope they've already, like, done any autumn harvests at this point, because that's 2 feet of snow is not good for crops.
No.
But yeah, Chen seems to think it's not a very big deal.
Yeah, like, one of the reasons we have such green grass is, like, apart from the horrifying ton of unnatural fertilizers we've poured on it, killing every bit of natural biodiversity and resulting in us being one of the least wild places in Europe, is that we don't get snow, so it doesn't have an annual die-off. So snow is going to kill your crops, folks.
Yep.
Well, I guess it depends on the crops. And I don't know. It's probably not good. It obviously depends on the crops. I mean, plenty of places grow crops that have a lot of snow, now that I think about it. But it's not ideal to piss off a weather god, I think, no matter what he decides to do.
Chen seems to think it's not a big deal, so. Chen also wants to cheer up Tripitaka, and he assures him that, you know, a few more days is hardly going to matter in the grand scheme of things, and he's welcome to stay with them until the ice clears and they can cross the river by boat. And once the snow stops, Chen has his garden swept out, a huge brazier is lit, and he invites the whole party to spend some time in a snow cave and enjoy the scenery.
And enjoy the that device for heat. What is it called?
A brazier, yes.
It's definitely a brazier, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
You all right with that?
I'm perfectly fine. It's not my brazier. They're not cooking children on it. I assume.
Not as far as it said.
Okay. Off page they might be, but off page is not our problem. Later, we don't do subtext here.
So yeah, later in the day they find out that the river is frozen over and there's people out walking on it. And Tripitaka wants to go see, but Chen says it's getting late, and he suggests they go tomorrow instead. And so the next day, Tripitaka goes out and he sees the river is indeed frozen solid, and he falls to his knees and thanks heaven. He thinks this is a gift, to allow him to, carry on the pilgrimage. And he's already decided to cross the river on foot.
Yeah, actually, I think it's a track that he'd believe that. I mean, he does have, like, a whole of a lot of spiritual guardians, which, as we have established, are not angels, that are hanging around,
yeah, that's
willing
true.
To get him out of trouble if shit goes south. So I guess, like, even if the fish were walking across it, he would probably go, yeah, cheers, thanks for doing me a solid. And a solid because the river's solid now.
Yeah.
And me to make that joke, it just happened.
Jen still thinks it's too risky to walk across the ice, and he wants them to stay until it thaws so they can ferry him across instead. And Ujing wants to see the river for himself as well. And so they head down to have a closer look. And they see people coming down the main road and walking across the river. And Chen thinks they must be traders going to the Western Kingdom of Women on the other side of the river looking to make some money.
Western Kingdom of Women?
Yes, we will be going there. That is a future chapter.
Oh, yay!
That is a fun one.
I look forward to it.
Tripitaka tells Wukong to go back to the house, get the horse, so they can pack up and leave immediately. And Wukong is happy to do this, apparently having completely forgotten about trying to solve the town's local god problem when he said they'd, like, sort it out in the morning 2 days ago.
Yeah, I take back what I said about follow through. I mean, he just doesn't have the attention span for follow through.
If he says he'll do it, he'll do it as long as he remembers to, which he won't.
Well, he'll do a bit of it at the very least. He will set things in motion and then forget about it, often to disastrous consequences, which he will then, in fairness, usually sort out, but...
Or Guan Yin, you will.
It's sort of... Yeah, poor Guan Yin.
So, Wu Jing still isn't really happy about this, and he thinks they should stay till it thaws. But Tripitaka, suddenly an expert on this region's weather and climate, declares that it's already autumn, so it's only going to get colder, not warning. So if they wait for it to thaw, they might be stuck here till spring.
Yeah, but Guan Yin, do you think, like, you know how in a lot of jobs you have that one project, that one motherfucking project that, you know, something goes wrong with it and you're like, of course it did. Fuck, now I have to drop everything else I was doing and all those deadlines to put out whatever fire this fucking thing that will not die is. Do you think Sun Wukong is that for Guan Yin?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, she's just like wandering around doing Guan Yin things, looking after other parts of her job, and then it's just like, oh, this fucking thing again.
No, that is absolutely what it's like every time he shows up.
Yeah. I still fear Guan Yin, as one should. She is the terrifying trans queen that none of us deserve, but yeah. No one deserves Sun Wukong on their books.
So, yeah. Baji tells everyone to stop arguing and he'll just test how solid it is. So he whacks the ice down his rake and it leaves a couple marks, but it doesn't break or crack at all. So it's pretty bloody solid. Tripitaka heads back to the Chen house to say his goodbyes, and the Chens try and get him to take gold and silver. But he steadfastly refuses to take any. Eventually, Wukong grabs a small piece and hands it to his boss, saying to keep it as an offering from them, just to keep them happy.
Also, like, maybe take some food, because it seems like every two pages you run out and you end up in some murder house saw trap bullshit. And it just feels like if you had some dried meat that could keep for a while, you might avoid some trouble.
They do take leftovers from people, but I think he does kind of make it a point not to, like, carry huge amounts of resources on them, because it's...
I mean, again, yeah, it's inconvenient.
No, I think more that it's just, like, not proper. You know, that he's the correct lifestyle of the wandering monk is to beg for food every place he goes.
Your order prohibits a protein bar? I feel like it's time to find a new order. That was insensitive.
Maybe, but yeah.
Like a couple of almonds.
Practicing austerity is a big part of this.
I don't know. You're not you when you're hungry. That's my hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Have the almonds on you at all times. Or, like, your snack of choice. I'm not in the pocket of Billy Gallant. When I start my cult, that's going to be, like, a specific rule.
So the pilgrims depart and immediately run into problems when they realize the horse can't walk on the ice.
The horse has saved them all.
No, Baji has a trick, though. He asks for some straw from Chen Cheng, and he ties it around the horse's feet so it can walk without slipping. He then...
God damn you, Baji.
He's actually very helpful this chapter in, like, the one time where it's very bad to be helpful.
Of course he is. Just the one time we could count... We needed to count on you being horribly incompetent.
So he then, to keep Tripitaka safe, he hands Tripitaka his priest staff that he was carrying for him, and he tells them to lay it across his lap. So that way, if there is an unexpected weak spot in the ice, and he falls through, the Staffel catches the edges of the ice and stop him falling all the way in. And he ties his own rake sideways at his waist. And Wukong and Wujing both hold their staff sideways as well as they walk, taking his advice. And they actually walk like this for a whole day and night, only stopping occasionally to eat. I will remind you, the river is 800 miles wide.
Oh, yeah, right. So your man wants to wait them, or your god, I suppose, wants to make sure they are well and truly fucked.
So, they walk all day and night, and the next morning, Numinous Power, in his palace at the bottom of the river, hears the horse's hooves passing overhead, and he springs his trap. He breaks the ice open under the pilgrims and pulls Tripitaka away. Wukong manages to jump away in time into the air, but Baji, Wujing, and the horse all fall into the water. And
yeah,
unlike Wukong, Baji and Wujing have a lot of experience in the water, and they're able to recover the luggage and the horse fairly easily. And the three of them head back to the shore and back to the Chen's house.
Are we forgetting somebody?
Tripitaka was pulled away. He was pulled under the water.
Oh, okay.
So they ask where Tripitaka is, and Baji says that he's not called Tripitaka anymore. He's changed his name to Sink to the Bottom. It's a pun. It's because Tripitaka's surname is also Chen, and it's a homophone for the word sink.
Very clever.
So his name is Chen to the Bottom. It's Chen to the Bottom. Yeah, it makes more sense in the original language because it's a pun.
Or play on words.
Yes. Wukong doesn't think Tripitaka is dead, though. He thinks that this great king of Numinous Power has probably abducted him, and he promises that the three disciples are going to find him and actually put an end to him, like they said they were going to do like 3 days ago and never did.
Oh, yeah, that thing we forgot. Yeah, that.
Whoops.
Yeah, we should probably go take care of that.
But if you want to find out how that goes, you'll have to come back for chapter 49.
Yep. I wonder what kind of Bond villain speech they're gonna give this man.
I think he's fucked. I think they're gonna eat him. I think he's fucked.
Yeah, this is why it ends here, yep. And the rest of the book is really just a series of explanations on various measurements.
Yep. Finally, we get to the good part.
Yeah, Cuiva is so excited about this. Anyway, watch what we do in the shadows.
Watch what we do in the shadows. Watch Riverdale, maybe, I guess, if you like train wrecks.
If you're into that. I love a good train wreck. You're a messy bitch who loves.
Okay, so let's actually do some proper sign off stuff, because we have not right. Really. So we have a Twitter. It's Monkey King Pod. My Twitter is Oak Reef OAKRWF. MJ's Twitter is T Shock O Trash, which I'm not going to bother spelling
it's
out.
T-Shock.
Yeah.
Show notes.
MJ, their Instagram is MJ Stokes, EMJAY Stokes. We have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/monkeykingpod. If you support us on the €3 or whatever Patreon arbitrarily decides is the equivalent for that in your own local currency, you have access to some bonus episodes. One which is a commentary track we recorded watching the first episode of BBC's Monkey, and the second of which...
Oh god, I just remembered that happened. it's a good episode. It's not a good show.
just the accents mostly.
Oh my god, yeah. Oh god. If you hate the British, listen to that episode. And I know that that's a sentiment that will reach a very large number of countries around the world. So,
we also have another bonus episode where we read through some of the Great Tang Dynasty Record of the Western Regions, which is the kind of travelogue written by the real Xuan Zhang, who Tripitaka is based on, which is much like this book, a lot more wild than you might expect.
What I did on my summer holidays.
There will be more bonus episodes in the coming weeks, which will be revealed, I guess. So, thank you for listening. Do all of that shit that we just said.
Yes.
Come back next week, or in 2 weeks' time, rather, to hear about what happens with the Great King of Numinous Power.
Yay!
Bye!